So my name is Aditya. I work at Microsoft Research India, Technology for Emerging Markets Group. This is joint work with Bill Thies, and this is an introduction about IVR Junction, a platform which helps us build scalable and distributed voice forums in the developing world. So before I go into the details of IVR Junction, here's the motivation. And the motivation is that voice remains primary interface for mobile subscribers in India as well as in all developing regions. If we see India, then most of the subscribers lack smartphones. Only 5% of all mobile connections have smartphones. 50 to 70% of them have a feature phone, and 30 to 50% of them have a basic phone. So the difference between basic phone and a feature phone is that feature phone allows you to make basic call operations, SMS operations. In addition, it has a single feature or multiple features like music player. But it is very different from smartphone. And even though the simple mobile phones and feature phones support SMS and text-based services, but in India, there is a low literacy level. Approximately 33% of Indians are illiterate. And there are various languages which are used. So there is no font support for tribal languages. So that restricts the usage of applications to using voice medium. IVR, interactive voice responses system, allow humans to interact with computers by placing a voice call. And there is a big market of IVR services in India. Approximately $750 million has been generated as a revenue from value-added IVR services. And this medium is expected to grow to $3 billion by 2020. And here's an example of some state-of-the-art IVR applications which are used in India, like how to access ringtones, listening to music, jokes, accessing astrology, astrological predictions for a day. There are IVR systems which help people book their movie tickets or help them plan their travel itinerary or mobile commerce. And third example is that Tata is a service provider, a carrier, and they have a program, Behtar Zindagi, a good life, translation in English. And this connects various farmers and has approximately 10,000 voice prompts. And these are also used for screening of Kaun Banega Crorepati, which is an Indian edition of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. So these are basic IVR services which are there in India. But I want to focus on voice forums, which are different from IVR services. So voice forums enable communities to create, share, and consume audio content using low-end mobile phones. And there has been a lot of work where voice forums are used for development. So here are a couple of papers which are published in ICTD, Dev conferences, CHAI conferences, and some of them are award-winning papers. So, for example, one of the voice forum is citizen news journalism. I'll go into the depth of it. But here, people can call into a particular number to record a news item, and other people can call into the same number to listen to what news others have recorded. These voice forums are used as a platform for viral entertainment where people have recorded jokes and have shared with various people on using the same service. And this is analogous to any web 2.0 website, and they can be as sophisticated as them. One of them is Awaz Otalo, which is a CHAI 2010 best paper winner, and which provides an agriculture discussion forum for farmers in India. The point which I want to highlight here is that most of the ICTD interventions, if they have to reach to the bottom of pyramid, then the medium which they have to use is voice forums. In addition to SMS-based services, because many people in India don't know how to read a text message or how to compose a text message. But as voice is a natural and accessible medium for them, so they feel very comfortable in accessing the information or contributing the information over a voice channel. So just going into the depth of a sample voice forum, like I said, voice forum for citizen journalism anyone can report news issues in local language. Once the news item is recorded on the phone, it is interfaced with internet, and submissions are reviewed by moderators over the web, and appropriate submissions, once approved by moderators, are published for playback on audio channels, so that when anybody else is going to call on this particular number, they would listen to the approved audio recordings, which are news items in this case, and would also be available on the web. But the question is how to build a voice forum. So if I want to implement a voice application today, what it needs to be done to create such application? So the option first is I leverage a hosting providers. For example, Awazde and Gramvani are two providers which help you host your voice application. And you can also go with Cuckoo and Exotel, and these are cloud telephony platforms. So what you need in these, for Awazde and Gramvani, would take requirements from you, will build your system and host it. And Cuckoo and Exotel would give you APIs where you are building the system, but they are hosting it. But there are various disadvantages. And two of them which I want to highlight over here is that there is limited availability of these services. So these services are available in some section of India, but not at all geographical places. And this is only restricted to India. These services are not available in Bangladesh, Pakistan, and other Southeast Asian countries. The second option is to build and host your service by yourself. And there are various tools for this. Some of them is ODK Voice, Freedom Phone, FreeSwitch, Asterisk. ODK Voice is a Windows-based system, but it doesn't offer distributed component. And I'll get later to the importance of distributed component. But Freedom Phone, FreeSwitch, and Asterisk, which are the industry standard to create a voice forums, have various disadvantages. And some of the limitations are that you need to host your own website for content moderation and distribution. These systems runs on Linux, and say, for example, I am an NGO. If I want to establish my own voice service, then do you expect me to learn Linux, or do you expect me to learn to install and maintain Linux-based servers? As an NGO, I don't have these capabilities to set up my service, and for that reason, I just remain aloof from providing such services to my target population. In addition to this, the implementation of your voice XML or voice UI is ad hoc implementation, and it is tied to a single infrastructure which you are using. And most importantly, the biggest disadvantage of using these tools is that there is a centralized server where most of the users are making a long distance call. So say, for example, if I have a server in Boston, then my users in California or at other places are making a long-distance call to reach my service, which is very difficult in context like India, because the target population for these voice services are low-literate and people with low socioeconomic status. So you cannot assume that they would make a long-distance call to fetch your service. So here's the solution, IVR Junction. IVR Junction is a new and open source system that combines other free and commercial tools into an integrated platform to facilitate creation of distributed and scalable voice forums. So how does it differ? So it tries to overcome all these disadvantages by, in case of IVR Junction, we utilize YouTube for hosting and content moderation, YouTube channel. IVR Junction is a Windows-based platform, and Windows is most popular and easy to use operating system, especially for NGO users and those who don't have, who have limited computer literacy. And the IVR Junction uses a standardized code like voice XML, which is portable across various infrastructures. So if tomorrow you decide that I'm not going to use IVR Junction, but I'm going to use some other service, then you do not need to rewrite your code. And most importantly, IVR Junction use distributed servers, which enable local calls. In addition to all these points, IVR Junction offers easier setup, is cost-effective, and have distributed access points. So how does IVR Junction works? So in case of a CGNet, for example, we have IVR service users. A person calls voice application, and the recorded messages are stored in a laptop, which is your IVR server. Once your message is stored in the laptop. IVR Junction uploads this message on YouTube channel. And you have moderators who moderate the content, who approve a particular post or disapprove a particular post. So they look at the content. And say, for example, if they approve the content, then the post or message is accessible at YouTube channel for consumption by internet audience. The same message is then uploaded at SkyDrive or Dropbox to enable distributed centers, to enable synchronization among distributed servers. And this message can also be posted at Facebook. And this is also available for listening to callers of IVR service. So what IVR Junction, the point is that IVR Junction seamlessly integrates your telephony network with your internet network. In addition, it offers a distributed advantage. So how does the distributed architecture work? One clarification. So Rajasthan is one portion, one state in India, and Delhi is a different region in India. And the callers in these regions, if they have to dial a number in different region, then they have to call a long distance number, or they have to pay for a long distance call. So this is how IVR Junction uses the distributed architecture. So once you have all your information on cloud, so there is a code. IVR Junction uploads the audio and synchronizes the repository. And this component also uploads the audio files and synchronizes the repository. So all the callers, so the callers of Delhi, when they'll call the IVR, this server, they will hear the posts, not only from Delhi, but also from Rajasthan, because these posts are synchronized over the cloud-based services. And similarly, when callers of Rajasthan are going to call this number, they are going to hear the posts which are posted by both callers in Rajasthan as well as in Delhi. In this case, they don't need to dial in a centralized server number. And they are calling local call numbers, but accessing the information which is uploaded by the callers in their respective region. This is very important because it reduces the operating cost of your voice forum by a great extent. So implementation, the key functionality which we have implemented is synchronizing the content across different platforms and to present a unified interface to the user. So there are various pieces of code. Caller interface. Caller interface is a template IVR call flow that presents user with audio prompts and control logic suitable for audio discussion forum. We have admin interface, which are a set of configuration pages which enable a non-technical person to set up their IVR application. And they can also specify whether they want to synchronize the content across different branches, or whether they want these posts to go on internet, or whether they want these posts to stay on a local machine, or whether they want to publish the data on Facebook, and these sort of services. Synchronization with moderators is a third component, which opportunistically upload data onto a moderation platform, online moderation platform. Always try to poll that system for update from moderators and take appropriate actions. And synchronization with other branches is a piece of code which tries to post the approved audio recordings to all the branches. This is fully implemented, and various deployments in different countries are in progress, and this is expected to be released in a month or so. Would be free and open source. All right, so if I'm an NGO, what I need to do to set up my own voice service? I need a laptop, I need a GSM or fixed line modem, I need a SIP and VXML interpreter software, so this could be a Voxio Prophecy 11, I need IVR Junction and application code, and some free Microsoft components like IIS Express, Microsoft SQL Server Express, .NET Framework 4, I need a YouTube account, a SkyDrive or Dropbox account, Facebook page, and that's it. I just need to make some small configurations using the configuration interface which we have made, and you are good to go to launch your own voice application. And this greatly reduces the effort which you need to put in right now to set up your voice application. So this is a sample configuration page. These are the kind of information which you need to put, and you are good to go. IVR junctions support parallel lines. So if you want to set up that one person can call at one time, then you just need a modem and a laptop. If you need to set up two parallel lines, then you can use either two modems, or you can also use a single modem which have multiple lines. So here are some power applications. So we have seen that how voice forums similar to CGNet, Swara, and Awaaz Utalo can be greatly benefited by IVR junction because the operating cost is reduced significantly. In addition, there are some phone broadcasting systems which utilize which can utilize distributed architecture for lower outgoing call rates. So example is one of the systems which we created last summer is a CHAI 2010 paper, is a phone broadcasting system for urban sex workers. So this system just sends some voice reminders to urban sex workers to come for a checkup. Now this system can use this architecture to reduce their lower outgoing call rates. How? Assume that your users are in three different states in India. Then you can set up your server anywhere. You can set up three nodes. You can put the file into cloud. These three servers in each state would fetch that file and would call the users using a local call rate rather than STD call number. And most importantly, it can also be used to connect users in different countries. So say, for example, if I create a voice service where users in India, as well as in Egypt, as well as in USA, would want to access to a voice application and want to access to connect to each other, then we can set up using IVR junction an application where they are making local calls to speak to those who are in different countries rather than making an international call. This is the second part of talk, and I'm just going to browse over it very fastly, very quickly, and you can refer to my paper for more details. But the question is, what is the future of scalable voice forums? So we have seen that there are so many voice forums which have been developed and deployed, but all of them, most of them are restricted only to a pilot stage. So what it really needs to be done to deploy these services in real world. So there are two basic constraints which limit us in doing that. The first is how to moderate content at scale, and second is how to manage call costs at scale. So there are various strategies which we have pointed out in our paper. Just going over them very quickly. So to moderate content at scale, we can run a call center of content moderators. So Just Dial is a service in India where you can call in at any particular time, and you would always connect to a customer care or customer representative who will help you, assist you with any information which you need. So similarly, you can have a fleet of content moderators. At first, this may seem outrageously expensive, but Just Dial is doing just fine. So I think we can do, there are similar services can be there for online content moderators. But the challenge here is it is difficult to maintain consistent judgment and quality and accountability across all moderators. The second and the most, I mean, we are really hopeful that community moderation is the right choice to moderate content at scale. So we have seen that various Web 2.0 sites like Reddit, Dig, Slashdot, Quora, Stack Overflow, they moderate the content. The users moderate the content. And so can we do this in voice forum, where users of voice forum would moderate the content? That is, they would decide whether the content adheres to the guidelines of the community. There are various advantages, like it is easy to penalize those who try to game the system because they are using their phone to do it. And over the internet, it is very easy to hide your IP details, but it's not easy to change your phone number that easily. But there is a challenge, like it is taxing to listen to long voice posts. So for moderators, a solution could be that we can use a crowdsourcing to transcribe these audio posts on the web, and moderators can read the posts to decide whether they want to approve it or reject it rather than listening to the posts. And this slide tells us the various strategies which we can use to manage call costs at scale. So the first is using a distributed architecture, which we have already implemented. And the second is to deliver audio data over, deliver audio over data rather than voice channel. So it could be a streaming download from the web. It could be, there could be a mobile application which caches the content. But the limitation here is that this requires users to have access to and familiarity with a feature phone or smartphone. And the third and last approach is to leverage offline peer-to-peer dissemination. So in our previous study, we have found out that there is a network of users in urban India who belongs to low socioeconomic status and are low literate, but they share the content among each other using Bluetooth. So those communities can leverage offline peer-to-peer dissemination rather than listening to manage call costs, rather than listening to the posts by calling a number. But the limitation is this is applicable only for those users who are motivated to share the content with peers, have Bluetooth-enabled cell phones, and have knowledge to send files via Bluetooth. Conclusion is IVR system has a great potential to create innovative ICTs for developing world. And it is very complex to set up IVR system, and there are various challenges in moderating content and managing call costs. But IVR Junction is a solution, is a new and open source system which is built on Windows platform, simplifies installation and configuration, enables interplay between internet users and phone users, and uses distributed architecture for low call cost. And there are further opportunities to manage content and call costs at scale. Thank you so much. We are seeking users, and if you have any questions, then I would be very happy to answer them. Sure. Yeah. Sure. The Bluetooth? Yeah, exactly. So that's. I'm curious. Yeah, this is a perfect question because we did this study in 2010 where we find out that most people use Bluetooth in urban centers, and then we are developing an interface which simplifies the Bluetooth transferring of file from one device to another device. So, of course, this can go as a pilot, but all people use different applications, different phones, and they all, I mean, most of them have somewhat different Bluetooth process, a call flow, I mean, not a call flow, but different flow which they use to activate Bluetooth. But yeah, this could be a significant thing where you can reduce all the cognitive load to just pressing a single button and you are good to go and transfer the file. I think this is really important, and this should be done. And we are doing this. Sure. Yeah. GSM modem? Yeah. Oh, all right. So what is that? Yeah. So GSM modem is very similar to your landline modem. The difference between a GSM modem and landline modem is that you have a hardware. In case of GSM modem, you put your GSM SIM card into it, and that network is used for your, that's the telephony network. In case of fixed line, you use the fixed line connection for.
Second question is, so you mentioned you do some sort of the synchronization between downloading the mods from the YouTube, and then you can install it locally in different locations of the cities. So are you allowed to download the YouTube videos now?
Yeah, so. Good question. Exactly. So YouTube doesn't allow you to programmatically download your video. So if you have uploaded it, then you can manually download it. But only you can manually download it. But programmatically, it violates the YouTube service agreement. So what we did is that we have a parallel storage, Dropbox and SkyDrive. and we upload the file onto the YouTube from a local machine. We check once the file is approved by a moderator. So the local machine put that files onto a Dropbox or SkyDrive account. And Dropbox or SkyDrive account is used for synchronization. So if for example, if YouTube tomorrow allows programmatically download of content, then we won't use SkyDrive and Dropbox. That's the exact reason why we are using it. All right, thank you so much.